Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
DeMol Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Welcome to the Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for the brighter side of recovery on The Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. We've got a full studio, and I'm so glad to have everybody here. I do want to remind you of our shows every Saturday morning from 6 to 8. We are growing. And again, thank you so much for everyone out there for making us your favorite this year again. That's two running years, and we're so excited to be the radio station of your choice. So again, thank you so much for your vote. It really counts. With that, I want to welcome everyone. And today we've got a great show. And of course, Sherry Gaba's in our studio. Long time no see.
I know. I'm so happy to be here. I was so happy driving out. And I knew I was going to see my Kim Pagano friends.
There you go. So Jennifer, how's it going?
Great. I'm really happy to be here today.
All right. Tom, everything good?
Everything's good on a Saturday afternoon.
There you go. And Mandy Barron, how are you?
I am good. Thank God. How are you guys?
I'm great. And of course, everybody knows Mandy Barron. He is from Evolve. And let me tell you, that is another amazing place that is here for all of you to use. And it's Evolve Treatment Centers. And they are all over the place from, you've got three different locations and growing. And of course, the number to get in touch with Evolve is 800-655-GROW. And of course, their website is evolvetreatment.com. And it's really for specializing in for treatment of teens ages 13 to 18. But not only that, you guys do it all there, don't you?
Yes. Just a clarification, it's 665-GROW.
There you go. And of course, we've got Sober Recovery, and that is Sober Recovery right here in Malibu. And that is an adolescent recovery.
Actually, SOBA is actually for adults.
I'm sorry. I know, adults.
But, and we actually have one in Ventura. We have one in Thousand Oaks as well.
Oh, so they're growing too. And we want to thank them for our show. And that's really what it's all about here. We bring you the best and the brighter side of addiction. And of course, to give back, we always want to, we've got lots of great things that are happening out here. And we want to give you the phone number here. That's 805-419-0008, 419-0008. That is the number if you want to get in touch with any of our guests, or you want to know who we can refer you to, or you want to win and you want a newsletter. All of our guests in here, we always have a newsletter. We always have where you can get in touch with them. And we love to blog and we love to spread the news about what's going on here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. Tom, what are all those gifts?
We have, Kim, $25 Famous Dave's Barbecue, along with $25 for Paul Martin's. Along with that, we have the Rubicon Theater Company's presentation of Other Desert Cities. We also have the Paseo Camarillo Cinemas presenting Laugh Out Loud Comedy Night with your host, the local, a very, very funny guy, Jason Love. How about the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library presenting a tribute to Neil Diamond and Elvis Presley? You will know every single song. Roadshow Revival. If you like Johnny Cash, you're going to love this revival. Mission Park in downtown Ventura. And that happens June 27th and June 28th. That's the prizes that we have for today.
Very good. Very good. And let's just start it off with some Rubicon tickets. And that's Other Desert Cities. I can't rave enough about this show. And they're going to be on again next week.
They were great. That was really fun when we had them on the other day.
Yeah. And not only that, it's just, oh my God, they do such a great job. So we got a pair of tickets right now. 805-419-0008. I do want to talk about our guest today. Our first guest, Jody Gold, and her book is High, and that is The Six Principles for Guilt-Free Pleasure and Escape. Also joining us is Kevin Hill, and he's the author of Marijuana, The Unbiased Truth About the World's Most Popular Weed. I want to just check in with Mandy for a second. Mandy, anything going on in Evolve's world out there?
Anything going on? We're just, you know, working the grind.
Okay, okay.
Taking care of the kids and their families.
Hi, Mandy. It's Sherry.
I'm such a need. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Good.
Good. All right. And anything to check in with SOBA out there? Anything new?
I know just growing like crazy. And we have our magazine, Recovery Today Magazine. People can find that at recoverytodaymagazine.com. We're real excited about that. We have John Bradshaw this month as the expert. John Bradshaw, if you don't know him, he is the one that really coined shame and addiction.
I love it. Okay. And, you know, a lot of people don't talk about shame. And that's one of the reasons that it causes addiction, right? And so
it's one of the underlying issues.
It really is. So again, we talk about the brighter side of life and in recovery. And there's things that everybody knows somebody, everybody's family is dealing with somebody. It's like the unspoken thing. And the Kim Pagano show wants to just really bring it out on the open. I've got the experts right here that can talk to it.
And they can actually call in, right? And maybe you can give them the number, Kim, and ask questions. I mean, I think what makes our show really unique is we're not just talking about the addict, but we're actually bringing the support to the families. So often the families are lost. I mean, when you think of all the rehabs in this country, you know, there are some that have family programs. Actually, many have family programs, but that is not their main program. I really only know of one program that really is just geared to the codependent family. So here we are talking about, you know, the families and giving them the love and support that they need too.
There you go.
I am sure if you asked an addict or someone who's gotten into trouble, if it was caused a lot of problems within their family, they probably have no idea the amount of stress and sadness it brings to everybody else, because they're kind of right there in it. They don't realize the way it affects everybody on the outskirts.
Oh, it's like a boomerang that goes away
I mean, I think of it this way. They don't wake up and say, what can I do today to lie to my boss and my family? Or what can I do today
to steal my parents' jewelry?
Exactly.
They don't think. That's the whole problem,
the whole
thing. Mandy, and I know that, you know, you deal with a lot of adolescents. That's something that you are so in touch with the family, correct?
Yep, exactly. It's very critical that you keep the family involved and that you stay on it. It's It's a systemic issue, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's bring our first guest on, Jody Gold. And Jody, are you there?
Yes, I am. What a great group you've got there.
Thank you
for all the good work you guys do.
Thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about your book, yourself, your journey.
Okay, well, the book is, as you said, HIGH, that's H-I-G-H, not H-I, like hello.
Yeah.
Guilt-free pleasure. And I am a journalist. I am not a recovery specialist or in recovery myself, but I did a research about the reasons why people want to get high in the first place. That was the big underlying question.
Why the interest, Jody? I'm just curious. This is Sherry Gabin. Thank you again for contributing to Recovery Today magazine last month.
Oh, my pleasure, yes.
But tell me, why the interest?
Well, I was actually, I worked with Hazelden, who I'm sure you're familiar with, and the editor asked me to explore this question. So I set out to do it, and what I discovered in my research is that there is a universal need to find escape from pain and depression. Everybody experiences pain at some point in their life, and if they don't, please give me your number. I'd love to know about you, but it's a universal experience, and what I discovered that the need to have an altered state of consciousness is also a universal drive that we share with the animal world as well, and it's been going on since the dawn of time. So you mentioned someone talking about shame. It's so important to get rid of the shame in the need to have an altered state of consciousness and to get high even recreationally or to relieve stress or pain or depression. It's something that is a part of human nature, and we should accept it, but not necessarily give into it because there are alternatives.
Mandy?
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. I'm hearing it's unusual, not unusual. We get a lot of good experts, but it's always fun to hear an expert who speaks my mind.
Yeah.
You know,
my question to you is, it's interesting. I was listening to Brené Brown, and she talks a lot about shame. And you know, we all kind of get dressed armored, you know, we're not, it's like shameful to walk into any business or place and say, I'm having a really bad day today. We have to stand up straight, you know what I mean? Kind of like put that fake smile on, try to make sure that, you know, we can get through life, because if we let people in, they're going to, you know, affect us. We're going to be put down. And that's one of the things that I think we need to live in a life of really knowing who we really are and being accepted for that.
And understanding where the shame comes from. You know, often the shame that we're carrying is, and I often do, you know, learn about this with my clients as a therapist, is the shame often comes from our parents.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've actually, you know, passed on the shame, you know.
Well, we've learned it. It's learned. And you know, this is the time of our life, in our place where we are in our world with, you know, everything going on. It's time to stand up and really be free of that shame. And how do we do that? What are the six principles of guilt-free pleasure and escape?
Well, I just want to say that there are more than six. Let's call this the short list of scientifically proven ways to experience the best and strongest, longest-lasting highs without the use of alcohol or drugs. And these are all backed up by studies. And the first one is MOVE. Now, I use MOVE instead of exercise because I know there's a lot of exercise haters out there. So it doesn't have to be in a gym. It doesn't have to be running. It just has to be moving, anything that gets your heart rate going, because it produces the body's natural mood-enhancing chemicals like endorphins, which will give you the same kind of high you get from drugs and alcohol. And so why do it? If it's healthy and you can get out there and if you can do it in a healthy way, why not get out there and move? The second is restore, which is revitalizing the mind, body, and spirit, which is so important for all of us. And in this really high stress, crazy world we live in, I'm from New York City, the stress capital of the world. You guys are in Malibu. I wish I could be doing this interview on site.
We're actually in Ventura, where we are right
Ventura
now. But
okay.
We like Malibu, too.
you know, we all need to restore, and we can. And I have ways to do that in the book. The third one is to connect, and that's incredibly important. Bonding with family, friends, community, or a combination of all three. There's creating, expressing and expanding your inner self through art, music, writing, dance, whatever your creative pursuit is, doesn't matter as long as you enjoy it. And then there's celebrating, which is affirming life and experiencing joy, whether it's through laughter or celebrating milestones like birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, and getting in touch with that playful spirit that we had as children. And then finally, giving, which is incredibly important, and it's part of the recovery process, as you all well know, and it's being of service to others.
And service.
And all of these pleasure principles are proven to reduce our stress, our depression, and enhance our feelings of happiness, as well as improve our health and well-being.
So, Jody,
Did Jody say celebrate? Yes, I did. Go ahead, Mandy.
No, I was just saying the other interesting thing to take into account is some of these principles are very much aligned with 12 steps.
They're part of the 12 steps? Yeah.
There's a good portion being of service to others. There's
yes,
a lot of...
Absolutely.
There's a lot of synchronicity with a lot of recovery principles that exist already, and that's fantastic.
Right.
We look at all what the spiritual masters are saying, or therapists and life coaches. It's really very similar. You know, these steps are all pretty much overlapped. One way or the other, it's all part of a spiritual life, really.
Right, right. But now, did you interview people, Jody? How did you write your book?
Yes, I interviewed experts, and I also interviewed what I call real people about their experiences. I had people who said that they surfed as a way of getting their natural high. Thrill sports, you know, like surfing or skiing, or that's one of the zip lining. That's a great way to increase the endorphins, get that natural brain chemical happening, and that's great. Other people can just run. You know, everyone's heard about the runner's high. It's not a cliche. It actually is a real thing.
You know what's interesting?
You get a feeling of euphoria when you run.
This last week, I did a client, an elderly man. He just actually bought a boat, and he's out on the ocean, and he's fishing salmon. And he said, I'm out there by myself. And sometimes you almost feel like you're not out there by yourself. And so what do you mean by that? And he goes, when you are living your passion and you're in your own mind, he said, it's like you're with yourself in a different place. And I think that when you're out there in life, living your passion, when you finally have found your natural high, whatever it is that turns you on, that lights up your life.
Yes.
That, I think that's what we need to be looking for in every avenue. And I think that's one of the big problems, that our kids haven't been able to develop that yet. And so that's where
think about like in the old days where they sat around and listened to a radio and used their imagination. I mean, obviously that's many years ago, but everything's so instant. They don't take the time to create. Everything is just instant fix. I really truly believe
and expectations uh-huh. are so high, and so I just think I love that you were talking about things that can give us our own natural high, and I think we're all looking for that happy,
but
that
like
we're all supposed to be happy.
Going through that list of the six items that you said give us that natural high, you really have to be in touch with yourself to know what those things are. So if you don't really know who you are, you can't figure that out. And it's easier to use drugs or alcohol to get that natural high than to really dig deep into your soul and find out what you enjoy or what's going to give you that rush and test yourself like that.
Well, I'm even going to take that one step further. Even if you're not into just alcohol or drugs or pills or anything like that, people work themselves to death because they can't get out. I mean, there's so many addictions and some people eat themselves to death.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's just... We have to figure out a way to replace all of these.
It comes down back to balance.
Yeah.
Where would you? I mean, these seem like excellent principles, and obviously the utopian vision would be that we find our natural high and we move forward. What I mean, and I've already heard highlighted that, you know, with teens, and I can certainly tell you firsthand, it's hard to know what that is. What would you recommend for folks who are trying to figure out what that is to start with? Who am I? What is my high? What am I passionate about? I mean, that certainly would be the starting point, and how would they go about that?
Great question.
Absolutely, that's a great question. And how do you launch this? Well, I would say you experiment. I mean, if you just don't know where to begin, there are six of them. I would say try one a day and see what works for you. And then on the seventh day, do a combination of all of these. But I say that all of these pleasure principles are not done in isolation. They really are combined. You can, in terms of giving, you can go on a charity walk or a charity bike for a cause of your choice, and you're combining then movement with giving.
And you're eliminating isolation because you're with other people. You're connecting.
Exactly.
I like
Thank
that
you for
idea.
That was the next thing I was going to say. You're connecting.
And, yeah, I like
and not
that.
Only that, but you're connecting with people who are good influences in your life, and you have to get. As we know with addiction, you're going to hang with people who are using. You got to sometimes change the people you're connecting with. So by joining a group like that, you're connecting with good people. If you want to create by making music, if you join, I just want to add, you don't have to be talented. You don't have to be on The Voice. You can sing in the shower and get that same buzz.
And I want to bring up again that the families can use this advice too, because what happens when you love an addict is you lose yourself, you lose balance, your whole focus is on that person. And so the best thing to do is to start, taking some of these opportunities to move and restore and so that you can get back into yourself again, because you're really forgotten yourself.
Yeah. You know what, Jody, would you stay on with us? We need to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out really, how to uncover some of these hidden things that we don't know about ourselves. And I would love to find out more. For anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, we are the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We've got an amazing group of people here that want to help all of you out there. Give us a call at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We'd love to put you in touch with somebody. And again, right now, I'd love to give some Roadshow Revival tribute to Johnny Cash, and that's at Mission Park in downtown Ventura. That's June 27th and 28th. We've got tickets for you. Give us a call right now, 419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Biodental Healing is not your ordinary dental office. We believe in a different approach to dentistry. Holistic dentistry. Holistic dentistry aims to help you enhance the overall health of your mind, body, and spirit through the power of alternative dental care. Experience our VIP touch, including removal of dangerous mercury fillings with extreme safe, protective protocols. We even match your body with the ideal filling materials personalized for you. Located just off the 101 in Newberry Park, schedule an appointment today with Dr. David Villarreal. Call 805-375-2233. That's 805-375-2233.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. I just wanted to let you know that we are here every other Saturday from 2 to 3. And then, of course, we're here every Saturday from 6 to 8 and then again from 2 to 3. And we talk about the brighter side of life. Today we're talking about the brighter side of recovery, and we are so glad you're here. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We'd love to hear from you. And this is really a family, a show that helps the family from anybody that's waking up in life. And we're talking with right now Jody Gold, and we're talking about High is her book, H-I-G-H, and it's the six principles of guilt-free pleasure and escape. Sherry?
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody about Sober Recovery Center in Malibu and Thousand Oaks. They're actually also in Texas, and there's about 9 other locations. We just opened up one in Arizona. The staff at the Sober Recovery Center is fully devoted to ridding one from addiction, substance abuse, drug or alcohol dependency, and relapse. Their expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure their recovery experience is life-changing. And really, they have the model that people stay a long time. They have a whole community where they're there 90 days and even longer. And that's how they start their lives off, to find purpose and passion in their lives. They get the time to do that.
Well, that's great. And, of course, Evolve also is for adolescents. And, Mandy, you want to say a little bit about Evolve?
No, Evolve is a series of treatment centers for adolescents, families who are struggling with mental health and addiction issues. We have multiple locations, and we're available 24/7.
There you go. Jody, we were talking about really how to find our passions. And tell us a little bit about what we're going to find in your book and how do we find our passions.
Well, I just wanted to let you folks know that I did a survey of approximately 430 men and women about their favorite pleasure principle. And I discovered that the top one was laughter, which I thought was interesting. Number two was sex, which didn't surprise me. And the third was a tie between connecting and socializing with creating, and that includes music, art, dance, writing, whatever form of creativity or pursuit that you enjoy. So those were the top. And I'm just curious, actually, with all the folks there, what your favorite pleasure principle is out of the
canoeing, paddling. That really changed my life about 2 years ago. That really, really did.
Really?
Yeah, right. It was about a year after my divorce from an addict, and I really was asleep because I was really codependently focused on the addict. And when I found canoeing, it just made me come alive. I mean, of course, I'm a Pisces, so I have to be in the water.
Yeah.
And I'm back to doing it again. I actually stopped for 3 or 4 months, kind of got back into other obsessions.
Yeah.
And, you know, woke myself up again. I mean, that's what we do. We're constantly relapsing, whether it's with addictions or whatever the addiction is, whether it's work, you know, and I'm back
well,
in the water.
That's the real challenge, isn't it? Is even for the things you're passionate about, sometimes people take those to the extreme, you know, the extreme thrill seekers and the risk takers and the the obsessing. It's a dual challenge, is finding a passion and not making that your new drug.
Again, balance, right?
Balance. I really agree. And, you know, I have to say my radio show has just taken me to that next limit in my life. Because I have amazing guests and people that I feel like I always say it's school on air for me. You know, I really do. I love talking to people and hearing about their journey. And I feel like everybody's got a gold nugget that you can learn from
them.
Guess
what? You're giving and you're connecting.
Yeah.
You're doing something creative. So you're just the whole mishmash.
I know. And I have to say my writing. I've gotten back into my writing and
wonderful.
I really love that. So
wonderful.
Jennifer,
well, I think
mine would be connecting with people. I enjoy being around people. I enjoy being by myself, but I enjoy being around people. That's probably my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Mandy, how about you?
Well, I'm a musician.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we learned something new about you all the time. What do you play?
I sing and play guitar. I'm auditioning for The Voice next month.
Oh, are you really? How fun.
That's one of the best. That's great.
After I finished my degree as a therapist, I went on tour and ended up getting a potential deal with Interscope, and it fell apart for various reasons. The guy passed away. But music is still my passion.
Oh, I love that. Okay, you got to keep us posted.
So he gives and he creates.
Right.
But even
in treatment,
fantastic. You guys are
really
all
focused
models. pleasure principles.
We focus a lot with adolescents on connecting with I guess you're terming it pleasure principles. We call it therapy between the lines in different ways. Mm. But
same thing.
You know, they do music, art, drama, boxing, physical fitness, yep. yoga, meditation, equine therapy, surf therapy. It's very important yep. to find things that you can connect with that are therapeutic that aren't necessarily, you know, traditional talk therapy.
Right, right. And
yeah, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's all the good stuff.
Right.
It's all the juice of life. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. Well, so, Jody, what are we going to find in your book?
Well, you will find suggestions, such as we've been talking about, for finding your pleasure. Find which one works for you. As I said, experiment. You know, whether it's canoeing or kayaking. I had one woman in the book who said her biggest high is on the trapeze.
Wow.
I mean, she did everything. She used to zip line. She used to ski. But she said now trapeze. Been flying on the trapeze and is the biggest high. You can climb. You could literally go mountain climbing. Talk about a natural high, reaching the top of a mountain. I mean, there's so many ways that you can get this dopamine, which is the brain chemical that occurs when we, you know, when we
feel that feeling,
natural pleasures.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing you get when you take drug and alcohol, but you can do it in a healthful way.
There you go.
So, Jody, I have a question. Are there yes. certain people, we all want that high. I mean, obviously, everybody to some extent wants to feel that. But are
right.
there certain people that need it more than others?
People who are lonely obviously need to connect, need to socialize and get out there. You know, there are many older people who isolate themselves. You know, teenagers also get really depressed and experience many social problems and pain, as you know. They got to get out there and connect with somebody who they, you know, who they feel they can really bond with. So just don't isolate yourself.
Wow.
Tell somebody, it's okay to tell somebody that you're feeling lonely and you want to, you know, have a coffee with them or whatever.
Very good.
So
Jody,
tell somebody if you're in pain.
Thank you so much. Where do we find your book?
Usual places. You can find it online on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in your old school brick and mortar store.
There you go.
You guys.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of Recovery. Talking about trapeze, I've got actually a pair of tickets to the circus, and I would love to give them away. They are for tomorrow and Monday, and it's up in Santa Barbara and at the Earl Warren Showgrounds. Give us a call right now, 419-0008, 419-0008. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Kevin Hill. We're going to be talking about marijuana, and that is the name of his book, Unbiased Truth About the World's Most Popular Weed. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good.
DeVall Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
It's time to celebrate. Set sail with the Kim Pagano Show and Princess Cruises on a weekend getaway sailing September 17th through 21st. Don't miss your chance to relax, unwind, and come back new. With rates starting at just $449, you don't want to miss out on this amazing deal that includes meals, entertainment, and accommodations. Contact Nikki Baldwin today to reserve your room. 805-312-4449. Again, that's 805-312-4449. Terms and restrictions apply. Ships of British and Bermudan Registry.
CST number 1005430-10.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And we are talking about really anything that you're waking up with. We have Mindy Barron on from Evolve. Mindy, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. Yep. Okay. Had you down there for a second. We got Sherry Gaba here from SOBA.
Hello.
And we got, of course, Jennifer Chastain.
Hello there.
And, of course, Tom. And I am Kim. And our next guest is Kevin Hill. Kevin, are you there?
I am there.
Welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, and why you wrote this book.
So I'm an addiction psychiatrist at McLean Hospital, which is Harvard's freestanding psychiatric hospital, and I've been doing work in the addictions field for probably 10 years or so. And I think after I did a fellowship in addiction psychiatry, I quickly realized in working in our partial program that although we see probably 40% alcohol problems, 40% opioid problems, and 20% everything else, I kept running into patients that would tell me that they were using marijuana daily for years, often in their late teens and early 20s. And I started thinking about, well, what if you were able to intervene at that point with a treatment that worked? How many of these folks will we see down the road battling with opioids or alcohol? And that really got me into the marijuana field, and I've been running clinical trials ever since. I think the book came out of doing a lot of educational talks with parents, schools, other healthcare professionals, and I realized that with marijuana, perhaps more so than any of the other drugs, there's this huge gap between what the actual science is and what the public perception is, and that really got me going into writing the book.
So I have to ask, because we always talk about it in treatment, is that, you know, pot can be the gateway drug. So I'm just going to straight out ask.
And yeah, so I think that comes up a lot. And I think what happens, people, when they talk about gateway, I think some people define gateway as having a causal relationship. So if you use marijuana at an early age, you're automatically going to have certain problems. And it doesn't work out that way. What does happen, and I'm sure you've probably had the same experience, that when you are treating people who have addictions, you often will hear that at 12 or 13 or 14, they were using one of three substances. And that could be marijuana, but it could also be nicotine or alcohol. And so that's a common pathway into additional problems down the road. However, there isn't a causal link between the two. And so I think that if you are, you know, and again, I do a lot of work with young people, if your child is using one of those three things at 12 or 13, then I'm very concerned, because I think you're opening the door to some other problems that you would potentially to have.
Well, I'm going to just turn this over to Mindy. Mindy, you're dealing with all the adolescents. It's all yours.
You've got some great experts on today. I can't agree more. The one thing I always tell teens, because as you know, Doc, the teens love to spark the marijuana debate, and they'll often go, well, there's no direct correlation. It's not a gateway drug, and that's exactly what they're perceiving. They're going, okay, you can't tell me that pot causes drug use. But I say, look, I can't tell you that everyone who uses marijuana is going to end up using meth, but I can tell you that almost everyone I met who's used meth or who uses meth started with marijuana.
It's not a causal link, but if you look at the folks who use, they tend to start with those things.
That makes a lot of sense right there. I know Jennifer and I, in an earlier show, we were talking about the sign that we just saw.
Yeah, it said, don't drive high, get a weed DUI. And I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, and my concern is that everybody's getting these
medicinal marijuana
cards. So they think that it's not a drug anymore. They're okay to drive with it. They're okay to have it because they're legalizing it. So what's your thought on that?
Well, I think that's a concern. So again, I'm a big advocate in trying to be evidence-based. And so there are two sides to the coin. But I think the problem with this debate is that it's a very polarizing one. And I think really both sides of the debate, so the pro-marijuana people, kind of akin to what you're talking about with these signs, will often relay this message that marijuana is harmless. It's not harmless. And then on the other side, unfortunately, because I do a lot of work in schools, I think that sometimes people who are well-meaning will go into schools and they will sort of convey the message that if you use marijuana, you're doomed. And I think kids know that that's not the case either, and they tend to tune people out. So I think both sides are guilty at times of really dramatizing the truth. And so, what I try to emphasize from a clinical perspective and from a policy perspective is that the truth about marijuana is somewhere in the middle. And so in order to make progress in either a clinical arena or a political arena, I think you need to be comfortable understanding that we're still learning about things and that, again, it's not all good, it's not all bad, but it can be certainly harmful and it can be addictive.
You know, I think of someone when they enter treatment and, you know, they're kind of holding on to the pot. You know, if they've come in for opiate addiction or heroin addiction or meth or alcoholism, they're like still holding on. Well, maybe I'll just smoke pot when I leave treatment. And, you know, I think what's important is just to kind of acknowledge how they're feeling. They don't want to think about forever. It's a one day at a time program. And so I think as clinicians or parents, talk about it. Go, okay, well, you know, maybe so. Why don't we just see what recovery looks like today? Or let's see what recovery looks like while we're in rehab or maybe the first year. You know, it's hard for young kids to think forever.
Well, and I have to say, I have said that to kids before. If you have a problem with drugs or alcohol at a young age, you have a long time to go never being able to do that again. So don't start. At least, you know, if you are in rehab at 13, you've got a long time of your life left over that you cannot drink or do drugs, I suppose you could say. That's why that to me, as someone who's not even an addict, that sounds daunting.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, though. I mean, the idea of I can never do this again comes up almost, you know, every time I see a patient, whether it's a young person or not. And I don't like to dwell on that. I agree with this point of saying, look, you know, let's try to get 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, because we know your prognosis is going to go up. It doesn't really make sense to get overwhelmed with this notion, I'm never going to be able to do this thing again.
And, exactly. And
so, but I have a question.
It's also important to think about how you word it. You know, from an emotional standpoint, you know, you often hear folks saying, you know, when you see someone who's in recovery and they're offered a drink, they say, look, I can't, you know, I can't, or you can no longer do this. If you change perspective to, I don't do this, this is not something I do.
Right.
Then it's often easier to get that perspective. It's not about I can't and later I can, right? To think about this is just not something I do. And when you look at, you know, adolescents, you know, with the amount of addiction we see, and when you see that 13-year-olds show up, and many of them, as we know, have the genetic gift bomb, if you will, you have to be able to tell them, look, this isn't going to be for you. You know, this isn't something you want to embark on.
Well, I was just thinking in respect, especially to young people. I mean, rather than saying I can't, it's right now I'm too young to be taking mind altering drugs and substances because I'm not fully developed yet.
Well, yeah, and here's the big thing about recovery is, and Mandy, you probably, you know, the younger the kids, if you can get them to have 30 days, their mind and their way of thinking is going to start to change.
And I say that often to them. I say, you know, you don't know how you're going to feel 30 days. You don't know how you're going to feel a year from now. You may be feeling so great, you won't even be thinking about smoking pot.
Exactly. And that's in kind of any recovery. Even, you know, if you're going through recovery of, a medical illness, right? I mean, if you start going through it, you're going to feel different.
Well, we all feel different. It's the more disease, and they're already thinking about the future because they have the addiction of thinking about the future. That is their job in life. They're not in the present. So it's really just about,
let's just sit here for a minute.
Let's just like sit here and just kind of see what shows up.
Let's not worry about tomorrow and later. Let's just, now I have a question. This is not so much about addiction, but if you, with these medical marijuana cards and you're able to purchase it legally, how does that work if you are employed by a company that doesn't, that drug tests?
Well, the issue of drug testing is solely up to the employer now. So again, you know, you're able, if you're an airline, for example, you can make the regulations as stringent as you want. So that's something that we're kind of feeling out. There are a limited number of legal cases that are ongoing with people who are suing employers for getting fired as a result of positive drug tests. But again, there are very few regulations or precedents on that matter. And so that's something that we're kind of seeing on a case-by-case basis.
Mandy, are most of the kids that are coming in, are they, is that their, you know, choice, marijuana?
Well, like I said, for the clients that I see, no matter what substance they're using, it's most of the time connected with marijuana. I mean, we don't just treat drugs, we treat mental health as well. But within the addiction cases, yeah, I mean, pot is a huge part of it. And unlike a lot of drugs, you know, it's easier to say, you know, I don't want to have a needle in my arm, but pot is the happy drug. Pot is the comfort drug. Pot is the social drug.
Right,
it's very challenging. So
you
don't sit around and do needles in a group of 10 people and laugh about it. So,
that is disturbing.
Yeah, but you know what? But you say that pot is the happy drug. It's really not anymore at all, right? I mean,
well, for the kids, I mean.
Yeah, but what I'm just saying is, you know, years ago, like, what do they say? It's not your parents to, you know, pot.
It's a lot stronger.
It's a lot stronger. So it's hallucination. There's just, and you never even know what you're getting.
Correct.
I think that's where we should be.
It's a scary thing. I mean, that's one of the things I like to point out to clients as well, you know. When you look at medications, you have FDA approval. There's no chemist sitting in your local weed shop who's assessing what you're getting. And I think I mentioned in the last interview that there's actually a place I passed by near my house, and there's a big sign that always fascinates me. And it says, "Dogo, don't eat one, get one."
Yeah, you know what? I'm so
your marijuana for top shelf, for someone else's top shelf, whatever.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up. That's where I was going with this. You don't even know what you're getting.
Correct. You some unknown person is trading in their unknown substance that has unknown additives for somebody else's unknown substance with unknown additives, and there's certainly no, you know, chemist with a lab coat in there making sure everything's, you know, on the up and up.
Yeah. But I think kids truly believe, so many kids, young people, even older people probably, believe that marijuana, because it's grown, it's natural.
It's a seed.
It's organic. Exactly.
Yeah,
how can it be bad for you?
I agree. I think we're fighting that tide, and I think, you know, we need to do a better job of educating kids about the realities of marijuana. And as you mentioned, if all you hear is about medical marijuana and legalized marijuana and whatever Miley Cyrus may be doing this week, it's hard for people to really hear the truth about it and how it can be, for a subset of people, it can be addictive and can be harmful.
Even my 11-year-old, we were watching something on the news and they were talking about an ice cream company that was going to make a marijuana-flavored ice cream. And he said, "Isn't that a drug?" Like, you know, that was, and I thought to myself, it's horrible that they are even saying that, because to an 11-year-old, ice cream and then with marijuana, that is not the right message.
What about all the, like, I don't even know about this, like the hemp lotions and the hemp oils. What is that, Kevin?
Well, I mean, the variety of products that you can use that have infusions. I mean, but I think the hemp piece is really not what we're talking about in terms of the medical marijuana stuff, or marijuana infused edible products, which is the ice cream. I think there needs to be a clear distinction between what is going to be used medically and then people who are kind of blurring the lines and trying to abuse the idea of medical marijuana. And that's what we get into when we talk about edible products that are packaged as candies or ice creams or that sort of thing. That should not be allowed, frankly.
So what about the brownies, you know, that people put in there?
Same deal.
Yeah.
Well, I think the brownie, I mean, it could be a legitimate way to do it, but I think you also run into the packaging issues with kids being more likely to get their hands on it. And I think another issue with the brownies in particular, or other edible products, is that even people who are trying to use it in a semi-legitimate way, have difficulty understanding how to do it, because if you're used to smoking marijuana, used to getting, you know, the effects of marijuana relatively quickly, and what we've seen with people who are using edible products is you'll take a bite of a brownie, let's say, you don't feel anything, you take some more, and then in 30 minutes when it all hits you, you've got a much higher dose than you were anticipating, and that's when people don't get sick, frankly. So, again, another area where I think people need to be educated about.
Yeah. Kevin, go ahead.
I think that there were some staff I was presenting for school on this topic, and they were showing hospitalizations, interestingly enough, because of edibles. There's been a sharp increase in adolescents, at least, who end up in ERs. Not necessarily because they're in a life-threatening situation, but because they're violently ill, they don't know what's going on, and they're completely thrown off. But I was going to ask, you know, there's been recent studies we've been sort of tracking out of UCLA where they're studying the early onset schizophrenia with adolescents, and many of them, the process has been sped up by substance use, specifically marijuana. Have you been following that or have any info on that?
Say that again, the study from UCLA. I'm having a little
UCLA,
bit of trouble hearing.
There have been murmurs, I guess, out of UCLA. They've been studying the early onset symptoms of schizophrenia with adolescents.
Okay.
And have I've reportedly been finding correlation between adolescents who are using marijuana and early onset symptoms.
Well, Mandy, that was our guest last week, her son, right?
Right.
Yeah, so exactly that case. But yeah. Kevin, have you followed any of that?
Yep, yeah. So I think that piece is relatively clear. There are certain things about marijuana that are obviously fuzzy and debatable, but I think that the effects of marijuana among young people are really not debatable. And I think the piece about triggering psychosis, so if you're using marijuana at an early age regularly, you're more likely to express a genetic predisposition towards
right.
psychotic illness. And that's been shown over and over and over again in the top journals. Actually, our most recent paper came out in Lancet Psychiatry that showed in the UK that if you're using marijuana that's similar to the marijuana that we see in the United States, you're 5 times more likely to express a psychotic disorder if
Correct.
You're using regularly. So
that's
scary. That link's pretty clear, and we see that, frankly, a few times a month here. So it doesn't happen a lot, but you're more likely to express it. Also important to point out that because people like to come back and say, well, it doesn't cause it. And that's true. It doesn't cause it. But if you're somebody that has a family history,
Correct.
Then you're more likely to run into trouble.
So since we're speaking to the families, what should a parent be looking for?
What I say is, you know, you need to be on guard and be aware of what is the typical behavior for your child. So you have to have open lines of communication. Kids often don't want to talk to you on your timetable. But you need to be interested in asking questions about more than just, you know, the Dodgers or the weather or that sort of thing. So if something goes down, they feel like they can come to you and talk to you. And
starting
I think in
the
terms
conversation.
Of, yeah, in terms of observing, just kind of know what their normal is. So if this is a kid who played soccer for 10 years and second year in high school stops playing, why is that? If they're, you know, have new friends, I mean, those sort of things. That doesn't automatically mean that they're having problems with marijuana, but it's something that you need to investigate more. And I think one of the key pieces, kind of getting back to youth use, is that if we have 5 kids that are using marijuana, again, the data says that about 1 in 5 of those kids will go on to develop an addiction. But we don't know which one of those 5 will do that. So any drug use needs to be met with the cavalry. You need to bring all resources you can because you don't know how things are going to turn out. So that's why I tell parents that if you find marijuana or if you find paraphernalia, then you know you need to be ready to act.
I would assume, I was just going to ask this question to Mendy, is it unrealistic to expect your kids to not try drugs in high school or middle school? But then my next question was trying something and having the paraphernalia with you, is those are 2 different levels of drug use. Because if you're going to try weed one time, you're probably not going to have all the stuff. You will have gotten it from somebody.
There are also a lot of kids who have all the paraphernalia because they want to try to fit in. They've never used it once. I mean, I don't know if there's necessarily a strong dividing line between paraphernalia and use, but I can tell you that it is a challenge, at least in this day and age, with the exposure and the amount of access that kids have. And now with, I don't know if you've followed the news about that, the Silk Road website that was selling drugs on the internet.
Yeah.
But but with the kind of exposure, it's very hard to expect that they won't be exposed to it. I mean, I wouldn't say that you can expect that they'll use it, but certainly you can expect that your average kid has seen it, has been around it, and has been offered it. So it's very important to nip in the bud right away, as the doctor was saying. I mean, as a parent, do you really want to be drawing straws in your kid's life? Like, do you want to pick the wrong straw? Is that a choice you want to make? You have a certain odds, and are you going to take biggest odds out on your kid?
Yeah, I think it's all about education. And, mm-hmm. you know, and again, some of our kids don't listen to us, but if the schools and all the, you know, everybody around us can help us get the word out, that's what this is all about. Kevin Hill, where do we find your book?
My book's on Amazon. It's also on my website, drkevinhill.com.
And is this your first book?
It is my first book for general audiences, yes.
Okay, well, congratulations, and thank you for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We really need to bring this awareness to everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Mandy, give out your number again.
800-667-GROW. And actually, Dr. Hill, our behavioral psychologist, Dr. Kerwin, trained at McLean as well. Great hospital.
Thank you.
And Sherry, SOBA in Malibu, or actually for any of the SOBA centers, 866-435-0504.
There you go. And, of course, we want to just say that recovery, it will be challenging. It will also be worth it. You will relapse, and that's okay as long as you keep fighting. And that's really what it's all about. We really thank you for joining us here on The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And we'll be back. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and The Kim Pagano Show. And also pick up our podcast. We are all over. We will be able to find you, and we'll help you.
And get it
so talk to you soon.